So this is Wednesday, September the 26th, 2018. My name is Barry Adams. This is the weekly fatherheart.tv webcast. And today I am talking about restoring childlike trust. And this is a message that I've shared before, but I feel like I've gotten a little bit more insight into this whole idea of trust and the importance of trust to God, and how this idea of trust is not only, like, it's not just a one-way street. Oftentimes, you know, we focus on our trust in God, which of course we need to do, but there is also a focus, the other side of that coin is Him trusting us. And one of the things that I've heard recently, there's a man named Bob Mumford. For those who might know Bob Mumford or heard of him before, he's in his mid 80s at least, and he's been a real champion in the kingdom for many years, and certainly in this stage of his life, he is really emphasizing the father heart of God and agape, which is the love of God. And one of the things that he said a few weeks ago, I follow him on Facebook, and he talked about trust, and he said that there's a big difference between love and trust, that you can love somebody, but you don't necessarily trust them. And he said that there's people that he loved, but he wouldn't trust as far as he could throw them. And then when I started to understand that, and when I started to just think about it, because oftentimes when we think of this idea of trust, we think of it as, in a sense, a one-way street, where we are focusing on trusting God for our lives. And that is very, very important. But when I started to actually think about the idea that not only is this journey that you and I are on about us learning to trust in God, but it's like as we mature as sons and daughters to Yahweh, and of course, you know, my definition of maturity is not growing up, it's staying little and living a complete dependent life and a weak life, and because when we're weak, then we're strong, in a very simplistic childlike heart life. But yet, you know, the more that we are able to live in that beautiful simplicity, the more that we become a container for the immeasurable vastness of the kingdom. But when I think of this journey of trust, and I think of not only me learning and growing in childlike trust to God, and to actually put some form to that, and what does that actually look like in my life to learn to become more trusting. But when I start to think that I'm growing as I mature in sonship, then it is actually also the Father's ability to trust me, trust the kingdom resources. And I think as I am, you know, getting older and becoming more, hopefully more mature in the kingdom viewpoint, it's like it's a two-way street. I'm learning to trust. Every day is a new opportunity to trust Him. But in the same token, my desire is that I would be trustworthy to Him. And this has nothing to do with, in a sense, a performance measurement or anything else. But it is, trust is a very relational word. I think oftentimes we can focus on the word faith or believing, and somehow we can lose the relational aspect of that. But when we use the word trust is rooted and grounded in relationship. You can't have a relationship, or at least a healthy relationship, with somebody you don't trust. And so I think one of the things that I'm kind of pondering in this journey about trust, and is the way that, of course, God loves us. Now, if my in a sense, whatever I do does not change His love for me. You know, He loves me with all His heart, and He loves you with all His heart. He loves every person on the planet with all His heart, because God is love. But it is when I start to understand that the journey of trust is for me to grow in towards Him, that, yeah, Father, you trust me. You trust me with your kingdom. You trust me with your own spirit that you put in me. And the relational way that He has already reached out to you and I, and He has trust us with His presence. He's trust us with an incredible gift of being His sons and daughters. And so, that's what I just want to unpack today, is not only our ability to trust God, but God's increasing trust in us as well. And there's a scripture in Exodus 33:11 from the NIV that says, it talks about Moses, and then this is what it says. It says, "The Lord would speak to Moses face to face as one speaks to a friend." And then, you know, we get this idea that, again, it's this idea of trust, right? And there's another scripture in Numbers 12:7 that says, God speaking, he goes, "But not with my servant Moses. Of all my house, he is the one I trust." And so, you know, it just comes back to this idea that when we talk about trust, when we talk about how faith and believing are interwoven in trust, then we begin to understand that it is all relational. You know, if we take the trust component out of faith or believing, the danger is that it becomes contractual. And I know for me in my own life, early on as a Christian, when I went to a church that really emphasized a word of faith kind of believing the scriptures, and I'm not blaming the teaching that I received. I'm blaming, you know, I'm kind of putting a focus on how I received the teaching. But I saw all the scriptures and all the promises, and I felt like it was more contractual, that God had in His Word, He made a covenant that He was obligated to fulfill in my life. And then I would declare those scriptures, not in a relational way at all, but more in a contractual, like He is obligated. And if I declare these scriptures, they're going to come to pass. And when I came into this revelation of the Father's love, and I began to understand that He really is my dad, and that I'm a son to Him, and I want to grow in that relational ability to trust Him and for Him to trust me. And so that has totally changed my understanding and the dynamic of how we are to live in this a trusting life. And the title of that I put on this is just, on this message, is just restoring childlike trust. And I think there is something that is in the hearts of every baby when they're born, that they have this amazing ability to trust. It's not something they learn or they have to work for. It is something that is in the very core of their DNA, that God has woven into our origin, is that we're born with incredible trusting hearts. You know, we rely on our parents for everything. When we were little, we believed what we were told. And the reality is, because we were helpless, we couldn't feed ourselves, we couldn't protect ourselves, we couldn't change ourselves. We had no choice but to trust, right? And King David wrote in Psalm 22, verse 9 and 10, he said this, "Yet you brought me out of the womb. You made me trust in you even at my mother's breast." And you see, the whole point of the development of our lives is that we were meant to learn to trust God, to trust our parents, to trust life at a very early age. And I truly believe that this journey that we've been on now in this revelation of the Father's love is really returning back to some of the simplicity of the origin of what God created for us. And I think that's why, partly when Jesus said in Matthew 18 that the true sign of kingdom greatness is to have a childlike heart. It's because God, in His origin in our lives, He created us to be able to live and move and have our being in the simplicity of a childlike heart, where we're trusting and we are just completely dependent upon our parents. But the reality is many people, and I would dare to say more, there would be the majority of people did not learn how to trust from their parents. I mean, again, this is a, when I say this, this is a sliding scale. There's some parents did a better job than others. And, you know, often that is based on how they were parented by their parents. And any child or any parent that has done a really good job of teaching their children how to trust. And I just say, yay, God, that was Yahweh's plan in the garden. You know, and, you know, there's not one person who's perfect, but, you know, we're all doing our best to try to parent our kids. I want to be a good dad and the best grandpa that I could ever possibly be. But I also know that I'm also very limited, and I have my own weaknesses and brokennesses. But see, the ones that God intended to love us and protect us and cover us were not able to love us like we needed to be loved. But because God created us to trust, as little babies, we still opened our hearts to them. And unfortunately, for many people, that's when there was wounding that happened. And the ability to trust God began to diminish as we got older. I see, if I could, and I don't know if I'm just going to show you this. I'm not sure if you can see this or not. I'm trying to, if you can see that at all. I really believe that when little kids are babies, can you see that all right? I know it's not the greatest, but when little kids are babies, they have a really, really big heart. And I think God's intent would be that that heart would stay big. As they got bigger, the heart would stay big and they would be able to learn to live that way. But I think the reality is that the more we grow up, the smaller our heart gets, in the sense of our big, open-hearted, trusting an ability to just to be able to receive from people, because the reality is that people hurt us. So if you look at, if our heart gets smaller, and I mean our spiritual being, in the sense as we get bigger, then in essence, this is, I think, what happens too. And I'm just going to go like that. And that's where, you know, babies have this huge ability to have ability to trust. But by the time we get to be adults, what happens? Because of all of the knocks of life, all the hurts of life, all the pain that comes, we start to close our heart. We start to mistrust people. We start to learn not to trust. And I think this is the struggle that many of us have. And so then we come into this revelation of the Father heart of God. Now, and again, we are talking about parental love, right? We're talking about the Father, the first person in the Trinity, and he represents parental love to us. And because of what that has meant to us, and because of the broken trust that happened in many of our lives when we were little, then all of a sudden it makes it really, really difficult to trust God. And so I just believe that God really wants to restore that. And I know I've shared this story before, but it's probably now, it would be over 10, maybe 12 years ago. You know, we asked some prophetic friends to come to minister to Ann and I, and these two couples came, and it, you know, I'm sharing the Father's love, and I'm, you know, traveling the world, but yet I was carrying this sense of uncertainty that everything could end in every month, because, you know, the way we live, we just simply, you know, trust the Lord to meet our needs. We, you know, we don't have, a steady income flow. We just live and trust that he looks after us. So I always was carrying inside of me this feeling of uncertainty that things may end any time, right? And so I shared this with our friends, and then they began to pray for us. And they had this sense in their heart that God wanted to restore basic childlike trust to me. And then one of the ladies, one of our friends, had this picture that I was like a 2 or 3 year old little boy. And I was in a home with my parents that I wanted to trust them. You know, it was the most natural thing in the world that she said, Barry, you were born with a trusting heart. You wanted to trust your parents, but it wasn't a safe place for you to do that. And for you guys to know my story a little bit, with my dad was an alcoholic. He struggled with anger. And, you know, I was always incredibly sensitive about his needs so I wouldn't get him angry at me. And she said in this picture, she said, I see you as this little boy wanting to trust your parents, but it wasn't safe. So then what you did is you brought trust back into your being, and that you decided that you couldn't trust anybody. And then you lived trusting in your own resources. And I became she said, I could see you as a hyper vigilant little boy. You know, your mind's working overtime. And it was very true. And I don't know if you've ever taken, one of the personality tests is called Strength Finder. And in Strength Finder, they highlight five different strengths. And one of the strengths, and it can be a strength, and certainly I've worked in that strength before, but one of the strengths that they labeled me as is a futurist, it's called. And the description of being a futurist is you probably need to know what the future holds before you can focus on the day's activities. Now, I don't know if anybody can relate to that, but I worked 19 years in the newspaper business, right? I was in advertising, sales, and marketing. So this futurist kind of strength really served me well. Even in, ministry and when it's strategy and the nations and the internet and media, I mean, it can absolutely serve me well. But oftentimes these things come from brokenness, where it was that little boy who wanted to trust his parents and his parents weren't safe for him to trust. So that trust came back to me. And then I thought, okay, how do I manage? How do I protect myself? And then I became incredibly perceptive about what could go wrong so I wouldn't get hurt. And so I think that this whole idea of me becoming a futurist has been rooted in brokenness, because trust was broken at an early age. So I had a trust in my own resources. And I know, I know I've told this story many times, but the one time I was in Holland and during prayer ministry and the speaker came and prayed for me. And then all of a sudden he touched my stomach. And all of a sudden, there was this involuntary response to him. It was like a contraction in my stomach, and I found myself bent over in this very undignified position. And my head was the top of my head was on the carpet, but I was still kind of bent over standing. And I asked the Lord, "Well, like, this is weird. This is an odd thing. My head's on the floor. I tried to get up. I couldn't get up." And I asked the Lord, I said, "What's going on?" In a fatherly way, there was no judgment in it at all. He just said, "Well, Barry, you have a very busy thought life. You have a very busy mind. And right now I am flushing every one of your toxic thoughts into the carpet, just like you would flush a toilet." So maybe not the most, reassuring kind of imagery, but after I was able to kind of unstop my head from the ground, the most amazing thing happened. And that was, I was not able to put two thoughts together. And for somebody who has had chronic anxiety and overthinking and strategy and could never rest, to be able to get up and not be able to think, not even to have thoughts, I could communicate. I mean, Mark was with me at the time. We were sharing a room together. There was nothing that I could do to process any kind of anxious thought. And I'll tell you, it was one of the most glorious experiences I had. And of course, eventually my mind did come back, but it did take a couple of days of just having a clear mind. Now, I don't know if anybody else would want a brain flush, but if you do, just ask the Father. Just say, "Father," put your hand on your head and say, "Father, I've got lots of thoughts in here. I've got a busy mind. I can't rest. Would you just come with a peace that passes understanding and just flush my brain from all these toxic thoughts?" And he did it for me, and if you want, I'm happy to pray for you that he'll do it for you. But in this process, I began to realize how anxious and how many things I trusted in that were apart from God. And of course, Proverbs 3:5-6 says this: "Trust in Yahweh with all your heart and don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your path straight." You see, oftentimes, you know, when if we aren't trusting in God, then what do? We lean to our own understanding. We lean to our own devices. We lean to our own strength, our own resources, our own works, our own, you know, selfish ambition, whatever it is. We lean to all of the devices of the ego, the self, the flesh, the old man, the old nature, whatever we want to call it. But I just want to encourage you today that there is a place in God's kingdom. There is a place in relationship with our Father where we can trust in Him with all our heart and not lean to our own devices, not lean to our own rationale or our own sense of justice or what He's looking for. And I truly believe little kids, certainly in the most healthy of environments, little children, they live that way. They trust their parents. They don't overthink things. They don't think about the mortgage. They don't, you know, in the morning when they wake up, they don't think about, okay, how are we going to eat today? They just simply trust that the father and the mother, their parents, will look after them and love them and care for them. It's only when we start to get older and we start to learn other things. It's interesting in that for Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, the Hebrew word for trust means to trust in, to have confidence, to be confident, to be bold, to be secure, to cause to trust, to make secure, to feel safe, to be careless. Now let's think about that. That's what the Hebrew word for trust is in Proverbs 3. Does it sound good to anybody? Like anybody say, yeah, I'd like to live there. I would like in this world. Jesus said, in this world you will have trouble, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. See, I believe the love of God that has been expressed to us through Jesus Christ in our union with the firstborn among many brothers and sisters has made this possible that you and I can live here. We can live here. It's not a fairy tale. It's not, you know, just, you know, when we all get to heaven. I mean, we're all going to get this, you know, the full-on revelation. When we see Jesus face to face, we go, oh, wow, cast all your cares on Him. We're just casting every care. There is nothing. There is no fear. There's no anxiety. There's no separation. But the truth is, there is no fear. There's no anxiety. There's no separation this side of heaven. Because separation is an illusion. Paul said in Romans 8, nothing in all creation can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So anything that tries to separate us, it could be life, death, angels, demons, nothing in all creation can separate us. So the reality is anything that makes us try to feel like we're separated is an illusion. And so my prayer today for you and for me, because trust is a daily, we have a daily opportunity to trust God with what comes our way. My prayer is that there'll be an awakening in our being so that we don't have to lean to our own understanding. We don't have to try to protect ourselves and provide for ourselves and do all of the things that we think that God is requiring of us because we feel fatherless. We feel like an orphan. Because when we know that we have a loving Father, just like little babies totally trust Jesus. Like again, King David saying, I learned to trust you at my mother's breast. See, I truly believe there's a place in God where we can have that childlike simplicity, a childlike trust. Now, even as adults, you know, and for, you know, me, I'm getting more gray hairs by the day, it seems. But in Isaiah 46, 3 and 4, God says to Israel, He says, you know, even to your old age and gray hairs, I am He who has carried you and I will rescue you. You see, if we think that we're all on our own because we're getting a little older and we're getting more sophisticated and more mature in the world's eyes, God still has a Father's heart for us. He's the one that has been carrying us since the moment we were conceived. And He will carry us throughout our entire life. The reality is, do we know it? Do we live in the tangible benefit of that? And my prayer for us is that this idea of trust, and of course, when we start to understand that the word trust and the word believe and the word faith are actually like this. You can't, they're intertwined. And I'm saying this, you know, I'm making putting my hands together for anybody who's listening to the audio afterwards, but they're interwoven. You can't believe without trust. You can't trust without having the faith to believe that it's true. Because if you don't believe it's true, then you're not going to trust. They're tied in together. And in John 14, verse 1, depending on the translation you read, but Jesus said, you know, don't let your hearts be troubled. Some verses say, believe in God, believe also in me. But the New Living Translation says, trust in God, trust also in me. So the Greek word for trust, and I'm probably, for the scholars out there, please forgive me, because I'm probably not pronouncing this right. But I believe that the Greek word for trust is pistuo, which means to believe, to commit unto, to commit to one's trust, be committed unto, be put in trust with, be commit to one's trust, believer, to think to be true, to be persuaded of, to credit, to place confidence in. So here is this packed word for trust, which is actually, it also means to believe. So when we start to understand that believing and trusting and having faith are interwoven, and they're actually the same root word. In John 6, 28 and 29, this is what it says. This is, they said therefore to him, what must we do that we may work the works of God? Jesus answered, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent. But it's interesting, it's the same word for believe that what Jesus said in John 14, 1. So this is the work of God, that you trust in him, the one he sent. You see, believing and trusting are so interchangeable. In Hebrews 11, 6, it says, without faith, it is impossible to be well-pleasing to him. For he who comes to God must believe that he exists and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. And so the root word for faith, and again, theologians, please, I don't know if I'm pronouncing this right, but for believe and trust, it's pistuiou. For faith, it's pistis. So it's actually the same root word. So whether faith and believing, it, the Greek, the root is the same. And faith means faith, assurance, belief, believing, belief with the prominent idea of trust, confidence. And so when we start to understand that this whole journey that we are on about believing and trusting and having faith, that it's all together. And to me, the relational aspect of it is trust. That we can't believe in somebody unless we trust them. We can't have faith in something unless we trust it. If I sat down in the chair that I am and I didn't have trust that it would hold me, I would never sit down in the chair. You see, there's an element of learning to trust that I truly believe that we're all growing in. It's interesting in Matthew 6, 30, and then he talks about, he's talking to his disciples, and he's frustrated, right? Oh, ye of little faith. Have you ever heard that before? There's one Bible translation that says, you know, oh, you who trust too little. Right? It's this frustration. And so Matthew 6:30, Jesus saying, you have little faith, you're not trusting about food or clothing or shelter. Matthew 8:26, he says it again to his disciples because they were freaked out about a storm when he was asleep in the boat. And he goes, oh, you of little faith, you who trust too little, you know. Matthew 14:31, Peter is walking in the water, then he looks down at his circumstances, freaks out, and then again Jesus says, oh, you of little faith, oh, you don't, are you trusting me? Can't you trust me? Guys, don't you, like, I'm with you. I'm never leaving you. I got your back. And I truly believe that the more that we can understand that trust is a relational component in the kingdom, and it's so important to God. Psalm 118, verse 8 and 9 is, from what I understand, I've never done the measurement myself, but I've heard that this is actually the halfway point in the Bible. New Testament and Old Testament together, the halfway point is Psalm 118, verse 8 and 9. Now, you know, don't call me on that one. I've just read that. But this is what it says. It says, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. And so, you know, I think it's only appropriate that that would be kind of the center point of the Bible, is just talking about how important it is for us to trust God. In 1 John 4:16, and this is the New Living Translation, it says this, John writes, we know how much God loves us, and we have put our trust in his love. God is love, and all who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. You see, here's this trusting in, that the whole point is that we are learning to trust in his love. When we live in love and God lives in us, it is our ability to grow in our trust in his love. That he's caring for us, he's a good father, he's protecting us. Jesus is our righteousness. He's secured our salvation. There's nothing that you or I could ever do to add to the finished work of what Jesus did. When the Father sees you, he sees you through the lens of his Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus said to his Father in John 17, I and them, Father, in you and me. It's interesting, you know, one of the places where Jesus was really, really impressed with faith was the story of the centurion. Now, this is even a Jew. And he comes to Jesus, and his servant whom he loved was sick, and so he said to Jesus, would you heal him? And Jesus was blown away by his faith, and he says, okay, I'll do that. Let's go. And then he says, no, I'm a man under authority. I understand how authority works. You just say the word, and it'll be done. And Jesus was blown away by him. And I'm reading it's. Luke, the story is Luke 7, verses 1 to 10, but in verse 9, I'm reading from the message paraphrase. It says this, taken aback, Jesus answered the accompanying crowd, I've yet to come across this kind of simple trust anywhere in Israel, the very people who are supposed to know about God and how he works. And I just absolutely love that. I just love the idea that Jesus is, what impresses God? But trust. My kids, they're trusting me. You know, in the midst of all the junk and all the stuff that is opposing my kids, they're trusting me. You know, even when Jesus was on the cross, he trusted his Father with his own spirit. He said to him, into your hands do I commit my spirit. So he was trusting that the Father would raise him from the dead, even on the cross. You see, this idea that, like, trust is so important to God. It is amazing. And like I said before, I'm growing in this just like you're growing in. And it's not like, yep, I got trust. I got it down. Because every day is a fresh opportunity for you and I to learn to trust. When our daughter Candace was going through her chemotherapy treatment for leukemia, you know, as a father, I was carrying the weight of that on my shoulders and worried about her and praying, but still carrying this concern. And I remember the moment. It was a Saturday morning, and I was sitting at my computer. We weren't sure if she was going to live or not. And she, for those who don't know, she went through 2.5 years of chemotherapy, and you know she's done amazing. She's completely on the other side of that and gone back to work and completely restored. But in the early days, we didn't even know she would survive. And I remember sitting at my computer desk, and the Father spoke to me, and he said, Barry, can you trust me with Candace? And I realized that, he could father her better than I could ever father her. And in my heart, I said, yes, Father, I trust you. But by trusting him, that meant that I was going to take all of that weight and all the burden, not the love, but just the worry and the concern that I was carrying. And I just put it onto my Father's strong shoulders. Cast your cares on him because he cares for you. See, when we're dealing with these things, this isn't meant to in any way, make us feel bad that, oh man, I'm not trusting. You know, I think of Mark chapter 9, verse 17 to 29. There was a man who brought his son who he wanted Jesus to deliver him. And Jesus said, do you believe to the father? And the father just just cried out, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. And as we know from that Bible story, that was an honest prayer that Jesus could work with, right? There were other people who had other opposition and other things for other, you know, when it came to healing and lack of faith. But when this man came and said, basically, you know what, I believe a little bit, but there's a part of me that doesn't believe. That was enough for Jesus to heal his son. And it's like us saying today, Lord, I trust you, but help the areas in my life that I don't trust you. You see, I think each and every one of us struggle in different ways and are able to trust the Lord with all our heart. We're on the journey. We're growing in it. And the Father doesn't judge you. But I just encourage you in your just processing this in your own life that you would just say, Lord, I trust you, but help the areas in my life that I don't trust you. It's interesting. Brennan Manning, he's gone on to be with the Lord now, but he was a champion of this revelation of the Father's love. And he wrote a book called Ruthless Trust. And he called our journey to trust as the second conversion. It's interesting to think of that there's a second conversion where we become convinced that God is trustworthy and that we can trust him with all of our heart. You see, 2 Timothy 2:13 says, even if we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot disown himself. And that's from the NIV Bible. And the Message Bible says it this way, even if we give up on him, he does not give up, for there's no way he can be false to himself. And again, the Greek word for faithless there in that scripture is not to believe, to betray a trust, to be unfaithful, to have no belief, to disbelieve. But the word for faithful, where the Father's faithful, is he believes, he's true, he's believing, he's faithful, he's worthy of trust, and he can be relied on. So even when we betray a trust, he remains trustworthy because he cannot disown who he is. My encouragement to you, my dear brothers and sisters, is that the Christian life is not about us. It's about the goodness of God, the love of God, the great love. This is love, not that we love God, but that God loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sin. You see, 1 Corinthians 13:7-8 says this, speaking of love, the description of love. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. So my encouragement to you today, I don't know what you're going through in your life, and I believe that the Father of compassion is closer to you than you could possibly imagine. He doesn't dismiss or discount your suffering or the things that you are anxious about. But I want to encourage you today that he is faithful in every way, shape, or form, and he will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He will never, even when we betray a trust ourselves, he remains trustworthy because love never fails. And so I just want to encourage you that this is something that we're all growing in, and every day is a fresh opportunity. See, trust in God is our confidence in God, is our confidence in God despite our circumstances. You know, on good days, bad days, and every day in between, that, you know, we grow in this revelation that we can trust him. Because no matter what we do, he's going to remain faithful. You see, it's not like the flower petals where we pull out a flower petal. He loves me, and then the next day he loves me not. He loves me, he loves me not. The truth is he loves you, he loves me, he's faithful because of who he is. He cannot help but be faithful, and he's a faithful father. And Jesus said, trust in me, trust also in God. Then he goes on to say, in my Father's house are many mansions, many rooms. It's true, this is the gospel that you and I can take to the bank. Good days, bad days, and every day in between, God loves you. You know, when I was a younger parent and my kids were young, they used to love to jump off the stairs. You know, we'd go down to our basement, and they'd go up two or three stairs, and then I'd be at the bottom of this, and they would leap into my arms. Now, as a dad, I was a little bit worried that I might drop them. But, you know, as little kids, they had absolutely no concept that I would drop them. They had trust that I would catch them every time. And I just believe today that God has a father's heart for you. And while you may be, you know, grown up and or grandchildren, you know, have grandkids yourself or great-grandkids, when the father still sees you, he sees you as his little one. And my prayer for you and my prayer for me is that this idea of just asking for an ability to trust him with all our hearts. And I think, you know, it's just like me with my kids, you know, they go on the second stair. You can do it. You can do it. Come on, jump into my arms. And the third stair. And then maybe they wanted to go to the fourth stair, but, you know, their dad was, but, they, you know, I would still catch them. I never dropped one once. So, but I believe that the Father wants us to jump off the stairs into his arms. He wants us to be able to trust him. He wants to heal the place in your heart where trust was violated. Anything, any wound in your heart from broken trust from your parents, from maybe spouses, from in relationships, from an orphan world system, from a church system that has hurt you and wounded you. I truly believe the Father's love wants to come even today and bring healing to the areas of broken trust in your life. He understands why you struggle, but he wants to restore your ability to trust him. King David said in Psalm 131, verse 1 and 2, and again, this is a man after God's own heart. He said, Yahweh, my heart isn't haughty, nor my eyes lofty, nor do I concern myself with great matters or things too wonderful for me. Surely I have stilled and quieted my soul, like a weaned child with his mother, like a weaned child is my soul within me. One of the things that I'm realizing in this journey, where Jesus said, in this world you will have trouble. Be of good cheer, I will have overcome the world, is that we have a unique opportunity this side of heaven. You see, when we see Jesus face to face, there's going to be no pain, no suffering, no lack of faith. We won't even need faith because we're going to be with him. But it's this side of heaven where bad things happen, and when everything in us and the orphan world system around us tries to make us feel separated from his love. It's in the midst of this, I truly believe, when we trust God in the midst of our greatest sufferings, in the midst of injustice and the things that happen, say, Father, I don't know how I'm going to get through this, but I just trust you. Like I did, I trust you with my daughter, Candace. I truly believe, because of all the opposition that we're experiencing this side of heaven, I believe that touches the heart of the Father like nothing else. Like Jesus said, I've never seen such trust in all of Israel. I truly believe the Father just absolutely, we can affect his heart by learning to trust him. One of the quotes that Brennan Manning made in this book, Ruthless Trust, and the high value that God puts on our trust is this. He says, trust is our gift back to God, and he finds it so enchanting that Jesus died for the love of it. I'm going to read that again. Trust is our gift back to God. And he finds it so enchanting that Jesus died for the love of it. I just want to end now by just praying and asking our Heavenly Father, by the power of his Spirit, to restore basic childlike trust to us. In every area that we have, that trust has been broken, that we've been wounded by those who are meant to love us and protect us, I truly believe even right now that the Father wants to come by the pouring out of his Spirit in our being, and that his love would come and bring healing to those areas. So I just want to pray, Father, I pray now, that you would open our eyes by the Spirit of wisdom and revelation. That, Father, that the eyes of our hearts would be opened to see the hope of our calling and the glorious inheritance we have in the saints. And, Father, you know our lives. You, every one of the hairs on our head are numbered. all our days were written in a special book before one of them came to be. You are aware of all of the places where trust was violated in our lives, whether as an adult or as little children. And Father, we ask now by the power of your Spirit that you would just bring healing to every wound. And I just want to encourage you, if the Holy Spirit is bringing memories to mind, you don't have to go digging up anything, but if there's any thoughts or any feelings or any impressions that come that bring pain where trust was violated in your life, I just pray, Father, right now that the healing balm of Gilead would just come to those areas in our hearts, and would you just heal us. And Father, would you just help us to place our trust in you. Help us to know that you are faithful. Even when we are faithless, you remain faithful. And Father, we declare we do trust you, but help the areas in our life where we don't trust you yet. Thank you that we are growing in trust. Thank you that your mercies are new every morning. Thank you that today is a fresh opportunity for us to declare, Father, that you are faithful. And we can put our trust in your love. No matter what circumstances we're in, Father, I pray now even for any person who's struggling in with great suffering, great loss, great anxiety, I just pray that your love would be so close to them right now. And that there would be no sense of any separation from your love. That is an illusion. And that your closeness and your nearness would be there and right now. In Jesus' name I pray these things. Thank you that we are in the Son, and the Son is in the Father. So the Father is in us by his indwelling Spirit. Thank you that we have all that we need. Thank you that we are sons and daughters to Yahweh right now, this side of heaven, in the midst of an orphan world system. So Father, we declare we trust you today. And Lord, if there's anybody on the webcast or is listening afterwards who needs a mind flush, a brain flush, a calming of the anxious thoughts, I just pray that your Spirit would come. And I just encourage you, wherever you are, just, you know, if put your hand on your head, if that's you, and just say, Father, I pray that the mind of Christ would come. I pray that God thoughts would come, and that you would flush out every toxic, every anxious, every fearful, unbelieving thought that I believe, that I have joined with, that I've partnered with, that I think will somehow help me navigate life. And I choose to lean not to my own understanding today, but I trust in you with all my heart. And I know that you will guide my steps. Wow. So Father, we just breathe in your love. We breathe in your life right now. We breathe in your goodness and your compassion and your provision and your protection. Father, every worry, every fear of the future, fear of lack of finances, fear of the unknown, fear of being misunderstood, fear of being insignificant, whatever, Father, we're struggling with, would your love come? Come to your little boys and little girls that just need to be loved now, in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen.